Greetings, Earth Explorers. Welcome to X Squared Radio, where the past meets the future. I'm your host, Brooks Agnew. In here, the results are always positive. We explore the mysteries of the universe and of the Earth. Whether you are driving across the country tonight or listening on the web while you're working on your favorite project, you are about to learn more about who we are, why we are here, and what we may become than you thought possible. We might go a little past your imagination, but have no fear. You will be safely traveling with us. Keep your arms inside the vehicle, recline your chair, and look out the window as we launch X Squared Radio. And welcome to X Squared Radio. I'm your host, Brooks Agnew. Our AccuWindow forecast tonight, about 31 degrees here in North Carolina. We're glad you're here with us. We wouldn't be here without you. The solar wind tonight is a mere 287.6 kilometers per second. And sunspots 1133, 1132, and massive 1131. Are crackling with B-class flares. Anything could happen. One of the ultraviolet photos that the SDO took of the sun shows a massive magnetic filament over the southwestern limb of the sun. Really could develop into something like a giant crack the whip. You never know what we could see out of that. We are expecting and have some provisions here and there to protect our most sensitive things from such a geomagnetic storm, a solar magnetic storm. The results are still going to be surprising when it happens. The proton count is up to 6.4 protons per cubic centimeter. Not that anyone is going out outside in short sleeve shirts. It's a little chilly nationwide. And true to global warming predictions, the Earth is prematurely chilly in the Northern Hemisphere this month. As you might know, on the Eastern Seaboard, we had about 90 days over 90 degrees, which is a record. And right after that, we had the earliest or second earliest ski slope openings. So we are seeing the extremes that were predicted with the global warming models. We're going to talk about that a little bit more in our second hour tonight. If you would like to be part of the program today, we'll have open lines all night. Next week, we'll probably have Dr. Ed Close on the program. He's got a new book out. We're also talking to the authors of several good books. I don't know if we're going to start the entourage or onslaught or avalanche of these great minds in the month of December, because a lot of you are out helping capitalism in the evening with your families, and we understand that. And you're listening on the archives. And a lot of these authors want to see the live call-ins, but we'll see what happens. We might bring them on before Christmas, certainly after Christmas, and in January, expect a full lineup. You might notice the changes at xsquaredradio.com. We changed a couple of the photos, changed some of the navigation to make it a little bit easier. We've listened to your feedback in going now to the list of guests that we've had on the program since the year 2005. We are coming up on our 1,000th hour with BBS Radio. BBS Radio Network is often the number one listened to webcast radio network on the web, period. And the quality of hosts and guests that we have on this network is unparalleled ever in history. And we have Don and his brother Doug Newsom to thank for that. Their great love for this business, and we support them strongly. By the way, if you have it in you to try to be a talk radio host, X Squared Radio here would be happy to give you that shot. We would be happy to sponsor you. If you want to get a hold of me We will see if we can't get you a slot on BBS Radio, let you try your hand at speaking for an hour at a time or 3 hours at a time. This is one of the very few three-hour programs on the network. Be sure to get a hold of me. It's bagnew@x2-radio.com. My contact information is at xsquaredradio.com and also at bbsradio.com. If you want to be part of the program today and you are off-planet, you know who you are. You can reach a cell phone tower. You can get to us at 530-413-4511. If you're east of Earth, 530-413-4515. And if you're west of Earth, it's 530-413-4520. And we are building a rather large audience of those people who are listening to the program via cell phone. Now, you can't participate. You can't call in, but you can hook up that Bluetooth while you're out there pushing the buggy around, following Mama, filling up the buggy with gifts for the kids and the grandkids and the nieces and nephews by dialing 712-432-0075 and then the access code 318-116-pound. If you forget those numbers, they are posted at bbsradio.com and they are posted at xsquaredradio.com right on the front page. In the news, and it is significant today, and it is significant to the first hour of this program. I cannot tell you how important this is for you to listen and to pay close attention to. Nobel Peace Prize candidate Julian Assange says publishing improves transparency, and this transparency creates a better society for all people. Better scrutiny leads to reduced corruption and stronger democracies in all society's institutions, including government, corporations, and other organizations. A healthy, vibrant, and inquisitive journalistic media plays a vital role in achieving these goals. We, here at X Squared Radio, are part of that media. Those of you that believe that Julian Assange should get the Nobel Prize for Peace, in a clearly unbiased effort to flood the dark corners and back rooms of corruption with the light of public disclosure, please make your desire known everywhere. The key to freedom and liberty is a free press with an unswerving dedication to the truth. May the truth continue to march onward. We'll be back in 40 seconds with the detailed news here at X Squared Radio. Don't go away. Fasten your seatbelt. It's going to get rough. The U.S. Air Force's secrecy-shrouded X-37B manned space plane returned to Earth early Friday, 2 months ahead of schedule after more than 7 months in orbit on a classified mission, officials said. The winged craft autonomously landed at Vandenberg Air Force Base on the California coast, 130 miles northwest of Los Angeles. Vandenberg spokesman Jeremy Eggers said he's often a spokesman for NASA up there at Vandenberg. The X-37B was launched by an Atlas V rocket from Cape Canaveral, Florida on April 22, 2010. With a maximum mission duration of 270 days. Quote, we are very pleased that the program completed all the on-orbit objectives for the first mission, close quote, program manager Lieutenant Colonel Troy Gies said in a statement. The ultimate purpose of the X-37B and details about the craft have long remained a mystery. Though experts said the spacecraft was intended to speed up development of combat support systems and weapon systems, space-based weapon systems. The voyage culminated the project's long and expensive journey from NASA to the Pentagon's research and development arm and then on to the secretive Air Force Rapid Capabilities Office. Hundreds of millions of dollars have been spent on the X-37 program, but the current total hasn't been released and isn't likely to be forthcoming. As a blanket of snow settles across the country, train services grind to a halt and roads become impassable, you could be forgiven for thinking that global warming seems more remote than ever. But yesterday, the World Meteorological Organization announced that 2010 is almost certain to rank among the three warmest years since records began in 1850. And it has long been accepted that one of the effects of climate change could be an increase in the frequency of harsher continental-style winters. Now, as it luck would have it, last winter I did quite a bit of coast-to-coast flying. And I can tell you, as I flew across the United States, it was completely, from coast to coast, covered in white. Very interesting stuff. Professor Maslin of the WMO, the World Meteorological Organization, is the more likely and more subtle link with climate change. He says, for me, this shows that the climate is becoming more dynamic. Interesting word, dynamic. And thus large shifts in the wind patterns are possible. In this case, subtropical air being trapped further south than usual. In other words, we need to remember that while the average temperature is rising, climate change also delivers more extreme weather, from chills to heat waves. Gee, I guess that's what we're seeing. Today, we're stocking up on snowshoes, but best to invest in some air conditioning as well. That's what we're going to see, and that's what we have seen in the last couple of years. And all you really have to do is now look at the southern hemisphere. While we are heading into winter, they're heading into their summer. You will see blistering, unforgiving heat waves go through the southern hemisphere, just like during our blazing hot 90-plus days of 90-plus degrees almost all the way across the country. You remember Los Angeles with the 100-plus? Yes, you do. You remember that? Very good. While we were going through that, the southern hemisphere was going through record snows. Glaciers were growing all across the southern hemisphere. Antarctica, record snows. And while the south is now going, southern hemisphere is now going through their summer, brace yourselves. Get ready for one of the harshest winters we've had in a long time. One of the ways to get ready is to visit our friends at 1-800-PREPARE.com, set up by our friend Paul Faust and his firefighter buddies. And they have created a online emergency preparedness warehouse, easy to buy, almost free shipping, all the way down to very small dollar amounts, prepackaged stuff. A lot of these foods will last for 25 years. Most of you that listen to this program on a regular basis already know this, but how many of you have put some of their goods in your car? I advise you to do so. It won't take much. It won't take a duffel bag. It won't take a large box. Even you with small cars can put a survival kit in that car. You don't know when some texting driver up ahead is going to go sideways in the road and stop that freeway for a couple of hours while you're on it, and you're going to be locked up in the snow or a blizzard, and you're going to need to be able to take care of yourself. Please, 1-800-PREPARE.com. Check it out. When you check out, be sure to put the word Brooks in the coupon code, and you'll get an extra 10% off. No, we don't get any money from 1-800-PREPARE.com. We want you to be prepared. Also, remembering the future, the physics of the soul and time travel, did achieve the rank of number 4 in spiritual motivational and number 9 in the genre of self-help. The overall rank, with more than 9 million books currently listed, reached 204. Not bad. Not bad at all. If you missed the offer on Coast to Coast AM, there isn't much I can do about it unless you want to be... unless you want to go to the website rememberingthefuturebook.com. You can still take advantage of the same offer. We found it to be so effective. Our warehouse really got bombarded. We went through 4 giant shipments of books. Now, these books that come into my warehouse here, I autograph them and I send them to you, but you also get the audiobook for free, and that's something you don't get if you buy off Amazon, Barnes & Noble Books, and Million, Walden Books, Borders, and all the other places where fine books are sold. Yes, you can get it $2 or $3 cheaper if you buy it on Amazon, but if you buy it from me, you might have to wait an extra 5 or 10 days, but you're going to get it autographed. You're going to get the audio version for free. So if you're not a great reader, don't worry about it. I read it for you. Now, there is a CD that is an aid to the book. It's put out by Maureen St. Germain. Her link is on the website at rememberingthefuturebook.com. It's also on xsquaredradio.com. And if you will click on that little CD of Merkaba 2 Meditation, you will get an audio CD that helps you walk through that meditation. It's a practice CD. It's an aid to give you the correct mudras and the correct breathing techniques to master the 17 breaths of the Flower of Life meditation. The 18th breath is not taught on the CD. We are the only ones that present that to you. It's in the book, and we do talk about it on the audio of the book. So pay close attention, and you too will be able to access those things in your very, very distant past. There were 28 earthquakes in the last 24 hours, with 4 over 5.0, none over 6.0, and still auroras are happening over the North Country. Very sudden, though, and they're not predictable for some reason, almost as though they're not being caused by the sun, but more a combination of Earth-based magnetic fields. Kind of interesting. Also, pay close attention to the website and click on the Web Talk Radio link at X Squared Radio. If you don't want to listen to a whole 3-hour archive, you can listen to a little short 30-minute version of the program. And the more you click and the more friends you send there, the better our chances are of syndication. That means we get to play on the airwaves. So let's spread the word, because we do need something positive going on out there on the airwaves, don't you think? All right, remember the call-in numbers. It's 530-413-4511 off-planet, 530-413-4515 east of Earth, 4520 west of Earth. And we want you to participate in the program tonight for a couple of reasons, because we're going to talk about something quite controversial this first hour. We got into it a little bit in the news, and I want to cover it in a little more depth here, including some audio sound bites that we've put together, because it's so profound, it's so important, and what is happening in the mainstream media right now is nothing short of shocking. It's wonderful that we get to witness it. It's terrible that we sit back in apathy and think there is nothing we can do about it. Yes, I feel passionate about it, Because here at BBS Radio Network, we pride ourselves in a free press. There is no censure. That is completely up to each individual talk show personality. I choose not to talk about conspiracies too much on this program. We like to talk about the science, and certainly this is political science that we're about to talk about on this first hour. And even the second hour, as we talk about global warming, not from a political science point of view, but you can't get past the politics because it makes great fodder for other talk show hosts that are out there on the AM band during the day. You know who you are. Hopefully you listen to this program because you're a little tired of that and you want a little bit more scientific point of view, and you also want a way to be able to call in and express yourselves. And that's what we're here for. Now, a lot of you do listen live on Sunday evenings, especially now since the sun is going down so early and it's not so tempting to stay at the lake or the beach or the mountains those extra hours. And we appreciate you being here live. But the vast majority of our listeners are archive listeners. And don't think I don't see you sitting there at your workstation working on your maps and your spreadsheets and your AutoCAD drawings and even your scripts and writings during the day at your regular work. You put on your headset and listen to the program, and we appreciate you and cater to you, although I cannot reach you out there in the future directly. I can speak directly to you. The freedom of people is really impossible. It is absolutely impossible without a free and diligent press. We are completing this year, 2010, with a long track record of bringing you the best minds and explorations into humanity, the sciences, and the possibilities of the human race. If you just go to the website and look at the guests tab at X Squared Radio, you will see the who's who of physicists, biologists, doctors, musicians, filmmakers, documentarians, thinkers, pontificators, theoretical physicists who are trying their best to open the minds and thus open the possibilities for the human race. That's what we try to bring here at X Squared Radio. Of all the beings in the universe, humans have something about them that is unique. They are the only sentient beings that are aware, that we are aware of, that have an effect on the universe, be it the past, the present, or the future, merely by observing it. We do it consciously, we do it unconsciously. We're not conscious that we're conscious, but we are affecting the universe with our attitudes, with our apathy, with our desires, with our loves, with our prejudices. We are affecting the universe. We're the only beings that do. We can change the results of the past. We can thus pull ourselves out of the physical mire and lift ourselves up into the light in a very short amount of time. But we can rely on each other. We often do. But in the end, it is our energy that judges us. It is not society. It is the individual. When we think our dark thoughts and thus follow those thoughts with dark deeds, we are judged by the very state of energy of our souls. When we redirect those thoughts to light and we seek the benefit and mercy of others, we will succeed and we will grow in stature and strength and in joy and in peace. Now, to say that we can act like God is certainly not blasphemy. After all, we have been commanded to be like Him. We will never recognize him without being like him. In fact, following him is following his words. Caring for one another is following his guidance. As we center ourselves this month on following his will and guidance by celebrating his son's birth, not by going to Walmart as often as financially imaginable, but by seeking each day to do a good turn for someone who is in need, by giving the gift of love and mercy, understanding, sometimes financial aid, sometimes shelter, sometimes daily bread, patience, guidance, not guile, not anger, not jealousy, not envy. You enable them to do the same. You have the power to affect the universe that way, no matter what your economic status is. So it is through us that the leaders we have not elected seize control of our communities, sell our homes against our will, and mail our jobs overseas as casually as they might send a picture postcard to a stranger in another land. It is they, in their secret powers and combinations, that are ever consuming and never producing anything. We have the power, the right, and the responsibility to stop them and replace them with true representatives of our interests. We did it in November, and we can do it again. So, I talked earlier in the opening segment of the program about Mr. Julian Assange. Now, his name is out there in the press. I understand you know who he is, but I want you to understand something, that he is an individual who is representative of something that we should have been doing a long time ago. He is, for all intents and purposes, as Thomas Jefferson once was, such a purist at disclosing the corruption of the crown, and such an adamant volunteer, and so willing to sacrifice everything he had, everything he was, for the core belief of this nation, and that is that each man, woman, and child would have the right to worship who, where, and what he may. That he would have the right to profess and say anything he wished, especially those things that might expose the deeper, darker secrets of government. Because at the end of the day, my friends, the public, John Q. Public, you, me, we're allowed to have secrets. We're allowed to keep our health records and our financial records secret. Governments are not. And that is the truth. So I went through a lot of interviews of Julian Assange. I am strongly considering doing whatever I can to promote the candidacy of this individual for the Nobel Peace Prize. Certainly more worthy than any president in modern day. Anyone who can vet the truth and release it to the public so as to shine the light in the darkest corners where the darkest deeds are done, into the abyss of deception, where they do their darkest deeds, is not treason. It is liberty. I'm going to play for you a question that was asked of him on TED TV, and Julian's answer. I want you to judge for yourself if there is 1 ounce of guile in this man. If you think for one moment he seeks to topple anything except tyranny, I want to hear about it. You have the phone numbers. Here we go. This is the question and Julian's answer.
And that's our hope.
So you found a way to shine light into what you see as these sort of dark secrets in companies and in government. Light is good. But do you see any irony in the fact that in order for you to shine that light, you have to yourself create secrecy around your sources?
Not really. I mean, we don't have any WikiLeaks dissidents yet. We don't have sources who are dissidents on other sources. Should they come forward, I mean, that would be a tricky situation for us. But we are presumably acting in such a way that people feel morally compelled to continue our mission, not to screw it up.
I'd actually be interested, just based on what we've heard so far, just to get a... I'm curious as to the opinion in the TED audience. And, there might be a couple of views of WikiLeaks and of Julian. You know, hero, people's hero, bringing this important light, dangerous troublemaker. Who's got the hero view?
Now, I want to just pause this recording just for a moment, just to share with you that on this YouTube, there are about 1,500 people in this audience. I would say 1,400 of them now have their hands up. This is not a show by applause. It's just a show by people raising their hands. Now the next.
Who's got the dangerous troublemaker view?
Let the record show there are only three hands. I've paused this several times. I've counted it. Only three hands. Now listen to Julian's response.
Come on.
It's a soft crowd, Julian, a soft crowd. We have to try better. Let's show them another example. Now, here's something that you haven't yet leaked, but I think for Ted, you are. I mean, it's an intriguing story that's just happened, right?
Yeah.
What is this?
So this is like a sample of what we do sort of every day. So late last year, in November last year, there was a series of well blowouts in Albania, like the well blowout in the Gulf of Mexico, but not quite as big. And we got a report, a sort of engineering analysis into what happened, saying that, in fact, security guards from some rival various competing oil firms had, in fact, parked trucks there and blown them up. And the Albanian part of the Albanian government was in this, et cetera, et cetera. And the engineering report had nothing on the top of it. So it was an extremely difficult document for us. We couldn't verify it because we didn't know who wrote it and knew what it was about. So we're kind of skeptical that maybe it was a competing oil firm just sort of playing the issue up. So under that basis, we put it out and said, look, we're skeptical about this thing. We don't know, but what can we do? The material looks good, it feels right, but we just can't verify it. And we then got a letter just this week from the company who wrote it, wanting to track down the source. saying, hey, we want to track down a source, and we were like, oh, tell us more. What document is it precisely you're talking about? Can you show that you had legal authority over that document? Is it really yours? So they sent us this screenshot with the author in the, like, Microsoft Word ID.
So I just want you to know that that shows the letterhead of the company that originated the report, and the report is actually accurate. Now, if the news media were just to say, oh, they were just well blowouts, you know, they're really doing a bad job of maintenance, you would buy it. Come on. You wouldn't doubt a thing. But if it wasn't for a whistleblower inside that organization saying, hey, they're not really well blowouts, okay? These are competing oil companies that are sending trucks laden with explosives to each other's well sites and blowing the trucks up. It's terrorism causing the well blowouts. You would never know about it. Did Julian make up this report? No, he did not. Was he very skillful? Was his organization skillful in vetting and finding out what the source of that was? Not to expose the source, but to validate the source so that the people could see that it was a real and legitimate report. Yes, he did.
That's happened quite a lot, though. This is like one of our methods of identifying, verifying what material is to try and get these guys to write letters.
Yeah. Have you had information from inside BP?
Yeah, we have a lot. But, I mean, at the moment, we are undergoing sort of serious fundraising and engineering effort. So our publication rate is, over the past few months, has been sort of minimized by we're re-engineering our back systems for the phenomenal public interest that we have. That's a problem. I mean, like any sort of growing startup organization, we are sort of overwhelmed by our growth, and that means we're getting enormous quantity of whistleblower disclosures of a very high caliber, but don't have enough people to actually process and vet this information.
So that's the key bottleneck, basically journalistic volunteers and or the funding of journalistic salaries.
Yep. Right. And trusted people. I mean,
now that's a very important thing, because when an organization like this begins to grow, one of the things you're looking for are credentialed journalists who will correctly check their sources, who have a track record, who have references that can be checked to bring them into the organization. It means that you are prime, absolutely prime, for infiltration by someone who is going to plant some poison, something terrible inside your organization that will cause you to commit crimes and to be destroyed. As you know, right now, the U.S. government, in cooperation with several other governments, is trying to find Julian. They're trying to arrest him. Anything they can do to get him out of circulation. Smart as the organization is, and these are some of the top hackers in the world, Julian has created a database of hundreds of thousands of very high-level documents. He has encrypted them to a level no government can crack, and then he has copied those file sources on servers all around the world. Nobody can find them. Should something happen to Julian, should something happen to his website or to his servers, that information will be released to the public. It is the only way that he is protecting his life and his organization. It's a shame that this has to be done, but you got to understand, there are dark forces out there that do not want this light. Now, you know that 250,000 documents were recently released. A lot of these are cables. These are like emails that are sent back and forth across a private line. Whistleblowers were passing these cables, reading these cables, moving these cables along to the next location, and realizing that there were some very dark and nefarious assassinations, some investigations, blackmail, all kinds of things happening in government that should not be happening in government. And believe it or not, well, I don't know if you do believe it or not, a lot of it was happening in our government. And then Julian announced his next target. His next target, not the military, no, not the UN, the banks. That's right, the banks. The afternoon that he made his announcement, the Fed began to voluntarily release information of what they did with an unbelievable amount of money. Now, as you know, I'm involved with a company that's trying to raise capital. There are lots of companies out there trying to raise capital. All kinds of companies trying to raise capital for what? To start their business so they can hire people, get people back to work, and start producing product. Not product we don't need, product we desperately need, product we want to export, product that we need in our communities, in our states, in our nation, in the world. A lot of this is leading-edge technology.
Some of it's battery technology. Some of it's solar technology, wind technology, electric car technology, all kinds of clean and renewable energy technology that needs to hit the market. Not a dime, not a penny available anywhere. So we ask the question, where did all the money go? I mean, it's as though the money Grim Reaper came through this nation and vacuumed every available dollar. They're just gone. There are billionaires out there that are in soup lines right now because they don't have two quarters to rub together. Well, they might have $1 billion in real estate, but they can't fill up their car with gas. Where did all the money go? And that's exactly what Julian is getting ready to go after. He's getting ready to reveal where the money went. And so the Fed decided to preempt it. Now, this is Ron Paul talking about it because he is on the committee. But I want you to listen to this closely. It's going to blow you away how much money we're talking about. Here we go.
After months of pressure from lawmakers, the Federal Reserve today coming clean about some of its aid efforts at the height of the financial meltdown. Federal Reserve Chief Ben Bernanke made $3.3 trillion in assistance available. And according to today's release, large amounts of it went to institutions including Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, even U.S. units of foreign banks such as Switzerland's UBS and France's Société Générale.
Now, I don't know if you caught that number or not. $3.3 trillion. Earth explorers, that is more than twice the national deficit. More than twice the national deficit. That's how much cash was sent out of our reserves to other countries and to companies that didn't even need it. And by the way, guess what the interest rate was? You got it. 0.0%. We'll continue.
In the case of Goldman Sachs, the bank went on to post record profits last year after receiving government aid. Now, my next guest has been an outspoken critic of the Federal Reserve's actions and before, during, and after the crisis. I want to welcome Texas Congressman Ron Paul. Congressman Paul, welcome to Bloomberg.
Thank you. Thank you. Nice to be with you.
So looking at the release of information from the Federal Reserve, what do you make of the U.S. subsidiaries of foreign banks receiving some of that U.S. aid?
What are the people who lost their homes and their mortgages that didn't get bailed out? How do you think they're going to feel?
Oh, let me add one more thing. How about more than 3 million American entrepreneurs that tried to start businesses in the last 2 years and couldn't find the first dollar of SBA support? How about $0 of grants going to any small business getting ready to start up in the United States? Nothing, nothing, only to billion-dollar companies. How about those people? And that's why those people are losing their jobs. And then when they lose their job, that's why they're losing their cars and their homes and why they're defaulting on their credit cards at a record rate. Because the money was taken out of our country and shipped to another country so they could have the money to start their businesses and shore their buggy whip companies up. We'll continue.
People who have been losing their jobs. No, I think it's criminal. And Goldman Sachs and the rest of them, you know, we buy up all those derivatives. I'm a little bit surprised. I didn't estimate that the Fed had already passed out $3.3 trillion.
Now, wait a minute. Ron Paul's on the committee. Ron Paul stands to be the committee chair after January. Did you hear what he said? I can repeat it for you. I was unaware that the Fed had already passed out $3.3 trillion. He's the committee chair. Unbelievable. This is where the light should be shined. There will be an avalanche of whistleblowing on this, and it needs to be brought to light. The public needs to know what happened to the money they deposited in the bank.
They just created that out of thin air, and now the taxpayers, by through the Fed, they own all those worthless derivatives. So we have a long way to go before we correct this and liquidate all this bad debt. But for the time being, some big people are going to benefit. You know, the banks are going to make a lot of money, and things are going to look grand, but there's still going to be a lot of people unemployed, and there's a lot more people yet to lose their houses. It's a very, very unfair system. And of course, the ramifications of this is you can't bail out the kind of a problem we have today with just printing money. And the amount of money they're creating, you know, it was 1.7. Now there's another $600 billion, and they hardly think anything about it. So I don't think this our problems can be solved in this manner.
Well, Congressman Paul, what would you have had the Federal Reserve do at that time? I mean, can they be given some credit for having shored up the financial system at a time of crisis?
Sure. I think they prevented a bad recession for the people who deserved it, the big money people who made all the billions when they were blowing up the bubbles. But they didn't prevent the tragedy for the people who were on the other end, the mortgage holders and the people, houses and the unemployed. So, yes, they prevented a deep, deep depression recession for the Goldman Sachs of the world. But no, they should have allowed the correction to occur. I mean, there were worthwhile pieces of General Motors. But for us to go into debt, debt is the thing that's staring this Congress in the face. They don't know what to do about the debt. The national debt last year went up $1.6 trillion, and they don't know what to do about it. They don't even know how to raise the debt limit next year. They're going to have trouble doing that.
Now, the main point is that he's trying to make here is that large mega corporations, global international corporations, were bailed out in total. Right out of bankruptcy, they should have been allowed to fail because the good parts of those companies would have survived. They would have been bought up. They would have been reinvested in. They would have grown. That's the forces of free market. That's the forces of capitalism. Now, if you go down into this article, you will see some of the comments that were made. Absolute plants, this stuff is, because they do not understand economics. It says, Ron Paul needs to stop with his libertarian free market delusions. He needs to admit that this is a total failure of capitalism, and no matter what word he uses, he cannot deny that capitalism has major disequilibrium that leads from one crisis to another. Nothing could be further from the truth. Had true capitalism been allowed to function and not been short-circuited or artificially inflated by the Fed, and we have no idea, although it might take Julian Assange, who I think deserves the Nobel Peace Prize, it might take him and his organization to tell us who it was at the Fed that authorized these hundreds of billions, in fact trillions of dollars, to be given out to these corporations to bail them out in total. If capitalism had been allowed to take its course, then the weak part, the sick part, the deluded part, the buggy whip part would have gone out of business. But the good parts would have survived. Now, it might not be called General Motors after that. So what? It would be good for the uniform companies to print another logo. But the jobs would have survived. The cars would have survived. The people would have survived. And the big fat cats that were shaving billions of dollars off the top for their personal gluttony, that part would have gone away. That's what I'm talking about. This is what needs to happen in our economy. This is what needs to happen in our government. And we can sit back as an apathetic, massive populace and say, oh, the people at the Fed know what they're doing. Let them take care of it. You know, we're not experts at it. Just, you know, let them handle it. And we can march to the slaughter like lambs. And we can continue to lose our houses. And you think your house is impervious. Yeah, because you're going to work every single day. But what happens if your job goes away? How many paychecks are you away from bankruptcy? Not very far, I would venture to say. So if you let them do it to them, they can do the same thing to you. And I'm not saying that the Fed should drop down and write a check to every man, woman, and child in the United States, because I would just build a Fed rebate car lot and make a fortune, and in a very short amount of time, all the money would be back in the same hands that it's in right now. No, that's not the answer. The answer is to let the free market forces take hold and to work. This is political science. This is economic science at its best. Any economist will tell you that artificially pumping up the buggy whip companies, the companies that are obsolete, the structures of those companies are obsolete. The products that they make are obsolete. The technology that they use is obsolete. Who needs a vehicle that only gets 17 miles per gallon? Are you kidding me? We have the ability to do 100 miles per gallon on gasoline, and I don't even like gasoline as a fuel. We have the ability of doing over 100 miles per gallon with diesel hybrids. Do you have any in this country? No, we do not. Why? Because the buggy whip companies won't build them. And although you're hearing in the press, and I can barely say it, I promise you, I can barely say it, the Chevy Volt is the car of the year. Oh, God, I said it. Can you believe it? Car of the year, and they haven't sold a one. Can't believe it. Can't believe it. We'll be back in 5 minutes. Take a quick break. We'll be back with the second hour of X Squared Radio right after this. If you want to be part of X Squared Radio tonight, you can call us at 530-413-4511 if you're off the planet. 530-413-4515 east of Earth. 530-413-4520 west of Earth. And those of you that are listening by cell phone, all you had to do was dial 712-432-0075, access code 318-116. We're glad you're here with us today on X Squared Radio. It's a nice night to tune in and get squared. Just to remind you, those of you that missed it in the first hour, if you're out and about this winter in your car, don't take any risks. Don't take any undue chances. Not when you have the ability to get prepared. We want you to visit our friends at 1-800-PREPARE.com, 1-800-PREPARE.com. Our friend Paul Faust and his firefighter buddies have put together a online emergency preparedness supply outlet. Now, I know you can. Now there are lots of radio stations that are carrying this kind of emergency preparedness stuff. But I urge you to check around, because if you'll check out 1-800-PREPARE.com, you'll find it there. Prices are great. Their shipping is awesome. They have all kinds of information for you, emergency preparedness information, things that will help you survive in comfort and in health. If you don't want to take care of yourself, take care of a neighbor, take care of your kids, your grandkids. It would make an awesome Christmas gift for someone you really care about. 1-800-PREPARE.com. As you check out, be sure to put in my name, Brooks, and you'll get an extra 10% off. Also, those of you that purchased Remembering the Future, the Physics of the Soul and Time Travel, remember that after the Coast to Coast interview, we got swamped with orders. I promise you, all of you that ordered the book will get it before Christmas. It should arrive this week, even for all of those that that ordered. Each book had to come in, had to be autographed, had to be individually enveloped and mailed out. They have all been shipped. So now the ones that are coming in, we can definitely keep up with. We'll get them out quickest means possible. Yes, you can buy it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble Books, A Million Borders, Walden Books, everywhere fine books are sold. But if you want the autographed version and you want the free audio version, then you have to order from the website at rememberingthefuturebook.com. Don't forget to also pick up the audio CD from Maureen St. Germain. The link to it, it's called Merkaba 2 CD. Pick that up at the website. Just click on the little CD case, either at the homepage or at the download page where you download each chapter of the audiobook. That CD goes along with the written part of the meditation, helps you with the meditation. It is an extra purchase. So when I say it goes along with it, I don't mean that it's provided. Excuse me. Been working out in the cold this week. Missed the cough button that time. Didn't mean to cough in your ear. So those are two things that I want you to take care of. Also, go back and listen to the archive. Dr. John Turner, he was on the program earlier this year, wrote a book on Joe Rye, which is a method of transferring life energy from one person to another. He uses it in his neurology. He's a neurosurgeon in Hawaii. And the book is fascinating, really down-to-earth stuff, very helpful. We promised to help him sell a bunch of books before Christmas, so go pick up the book. Click on his link, go to his website, buy the book, and help us fulfill that promise that we made to him. Check it out. Starting in January, we have a fairly long list of great minds coming on the program. We've got some more coming this month as well. Dr. Ed Close, we've recently had Mike Barra on the program with his book, The Choice. Nigel Kerner and others that are out there in the news right now. Though they've been on the program, go back and listen to those archives as well. If you're a regular archive listener to X Squared Radio, bravo, thank you so much. If you're a live listener only, don't pass up the wonderful experience of listening to this as an archive while you're working on your favorite project, bombing around the house or driving in the car. Easy to do, $250 a month, $250 for 1 month, actually. It's $20 for a whole year. That's less than, what, a cup of coffee per month. And the audio quality is good. We cut out all the commercial time stuff that you hear in the beginning of the program, and of course all the music, so that you can just zip right through it. By the way, that was Uprising by Muse that we played during the break there. We always like to give acknowledgement when we can. If you've got bumper music that you've developed and you would like to get exposure, we would love to give you a chance. There used to be a website out there called GarageBand. It has since been taken down. Too bad, because it was a great outlet for up-and-coming artists to get their cuts out there, for media outlets like myself to put them on there and use them. We use Groove Maneuver for our intro music. And we give them acknowledgement right there on the website, and you could find them by Googling them. Great artists, good stuff, and we want to help them sell CDs. And if you've got bumper music that you've worked up, something that's ambient or atmospheric or energetic or industrial, send it to us. We'll use it as best we can for commercials or bumper music, and we'll give you the same acknowledgement. We appreciate you and what you do, and want to give you as much break as possible. Also, as you're locked in this winter listening to archives of X Squared Radio, and you're listening to the BBS Radio Network, please know that there's always room for one more. So if you have the idea in your mind that you want to start your own talk radio program, our good friend Ramon from New York, now moved to Japan, and his friend Thomas have started up a new talk radio program, and they're doing quite well with it. If you think you have what it takes to stick with it and hang in there and think you have something important to say that people will listen to, we'd love to give you a shot at it. So get a hold of us. We'd be happy to sponsor you, send you along to BBS Radio. It'll be worth a discount to you. Contact me at bagnew@x2-radio.com or the contact information at x2radio.com, and we'll be happy to get you started with BBS Radio and your own talk radio program. Glad you've tuned in to Get Squared. This hour, we're going to talk a little bit about global warming. I know you've probably global warming doubt, but we're getting ready to start into one of the coldest winters that we've had. You think the snows we had last winter were fun. In eastern Kentucky, we had 21 days of snow. It's never happened. I mean, since the earth cooled, it hasn't happened. And out in Utah, they not only had an early snow season, they were skiing in June. They were skiing in June in Utah, one of the longest ski seasons in memory. So don't think that we're not seeing some extreme weather. Yes, very high temperatures here and there, extreme hot, but also extreme cold. In Boise, Idaho, they're calling it the summer that never happened. Yeah, the summer that never happened. It almost didn't get over 80 degrees once during the summer. This is an area that typically sees 110 easily in the summertime. Desert dryness. Very unusual, people, very unusual. By the way, in our broadcast that we did from the year 2015, you might want to go back and listen to that. We predicted that the winter of 2010 would be a blockbuster, and it might even fill up the passes where the freeways come down into Idaho, and that those snows might be so deep they might not melt during the summer. Boy, did we get close with that this last winter. Yes, indeed. There was still snow on the ground in the shady parts of those hills right down to the freeway all the way through summer. unbelievable how close we were with that. So, one of the recent fables of science appears to be global warming. I say appears to be because some in the press are just beating up this theory right and left. I mean, it's just like global warming. You still don't believe in that myth, do you? Well, if you'll remember, you go back and read the actual white papers that were put out on global warming. The symptoms would be that we would see extremes in weather. Of course, one of the other symptoms would be that we would see a shift, a change in temperature, in velocity, in mechanism of the Gulf Stream. The data is back. I know you're waiting for it. The data is back, and it's quite prolific. These are sensors that are all the way down to Africa, monitoring the movement of the warm air that goes up to the north, cools, drops to the bottom, or, I'm sorry, not warm air, warm water that goes up to the north, making Europe somewhat temperate. The water cools, drops down to the bottom, and goes back down to Africa to be warmed up again. As you know, they're already seeing record cold temperatures in the UK. That's because those warm waters aren't there. That ability to keep Scotland and England temperate in the wintertime isn't going to happen. Now, it appears as though that the warm water might be there, but it is accompanied by a very unusual high pressure that sits out over that water. Now, what that does is it prevents the air that would be warmed by that water from coming ashore and keeping it moderate. Instead, it provides a trough, a pathway for Arctic air to push down through the Siberian desert and across Europe, and it's quite chilly. Now, this mixes with the moist air that's coming in off the sea, and you get tremendous snowfalls, and that's exactly what you're going to see this winter. They're already predicting just socked in drifting snow all across the UK. So if you're planning a vacation, golf or otherwise, to Scotland or England, you might want to take your parka with you because it's going to be a cold one this winter. And we don't really know why those high pressures are sitting out there over the North Sea, but they are. Some have said it might be HARP. Some have said it might be the Russian version of HARP, trying to keep that high pressure in stasis over the ocean. We just don't know. But in any case, it's greatly affecting the weather in Europe. Now, another thing that you'll look at, and I want you to pay close attention to it, when you watch the Weather Channel or you watch the weather forecast, especially in the Northeast and the Northwest, one of the things I want you to look for are counterclockwise rotating weather fronts. These are very large. They'll cover multiple states. They'll be somewhere around 400 to 500 miles in diameter, maybe a little larger at times. Occasionally, these get so large and so mobile in this counterclockwise rotation that they look a lot like a hurricane. Yeah, they look a lot like a hurricane right there on the screen. Now, they can call it a nor'easter. They can call it a snowstorm, a front up in the west, up in the east. Watch closely this winter. Watch closely. Be aware and watch closely. Because once that circle closes, now I'm not talking the one that looks like 3/4 of a pie or half a pie or like a herd of pigs chasing themselves around and around in a counterclockwise motion. I mean a complete circle of white that's rotating at high speed, 40, 50, 70 miles an hour. This is the making of a supercell. What's a supercell? Good question. A supercell is like a hurricane, except instead of having a calm eye in the middle, it has a low pressure in the middle, low being under or very close to 29 inches of mercury. This is unstable. This creates sort of a vacuum. And it allows very high, very cold air, like 40 below, 60 below, 100 below, to fall out of the upper atmosphere into the lower atmospheres, grabbing that high moisture that's been shoved up there by these low pressures to instantly freeze, and allows this moisture to fall super cold. And it won't just fall a foot deep or 2 feet deep. We're talking 2 meters, 3 meters, 4 meters deep. This is the kind of snow that's deadly. These are the kinds of temperatures that are deadly. This is called a supercell, and it's not localized, it's regional. You're not just talking about white ground. You're talking about white ground covered in 12 to 15 feet of snow. That's the kind of snow that starts glaciers. That's the kind of snow that rips buildings apart. That's the kind of snow that shuts utilities off and can be deadly. I don't know if you remember the reports of New York City getting 6 and 8 feet of snow in certain parts. We've already had lake effect snow up in Buffalo, Cleveland. So be aware when you're out and about. Make sure to be prepared. Watch the weather channels. Watch what's happening. When you see those weather formations begin to take place, and they will, call your relatives up there. Let them know what's going on. Don't listen to the weatherman because he's going to play it down. You know what I'm talking about. Stay close on it. Watch it closely. Now, the politics behind this whole thing, and it's, you know, the political and I believe scientific football here is whether mankind has anything to do with it or not. That's what it boils down to. And if he does, is the effect large enough to push the planet past the point of suitability for life? That's really the political football right now. That's the basis for things like carbon credits and this whole idea of a carbon tax of some kind to try to take the worst polluters, charge them a tax, raise the money, put green technologies out there, sell those green credits to companies that are big polluters. That's the political football that's out there right now. Now, I don't really know what to make of this, but I can tell you that there are private corporations that are springing up here and there, and they're creating certificates, official documents, which are tradable, valuable. Companies that create them can sell them. Companies that need them, like coal-fired power plants and concrete plants and others that put out large amounts of CO2, are willing to buy them so that they don't have to pay the taxes. This trading of these certificates, these green credits, these carbon tax credits, this cap and trade system that's being put together, is the makings of something monumentally corrupt. So pay close attention. Don't be too apathetic on it. Don't believe this political football thing for a minute on global warming. It's big money, really big money. And it could be very serious in the sense that, you know, maybe it is human activity that can push us over the edge. Certainly this much. And this is my opinion, and it's not alone. Certainly it makes common sense that if we have a smarter way to drive, a smarter way to make energy, a cleaner, more sustainable, more renewable, more cost-effective way of making energy, why are we continuing to drill up our planet, shovel it into our gas tanks, and burn it? That's a great question. Now, many of you do not know that the federal government is getting ready to double the federal tax on gasoline. For those of you that don't know what that is, that's about 43 cents a gallon. So that could happen very, very quickly. It won't happen a little bit at a time, 4 cents here, 6 cents there. They'll just double it. Okay, 43 cents a gallon tagged right on top of it, just like a tax hike. It's a use tax. It's a righteous tax as far as they're concerned. It's a targeted tax, and it will generate billions of dollars in revenue. They can't pass it up. Can't pass it up. Keep in mind that there is a mindset that that the United States pays far too little for its energy. And it's not just our leadership here in our country. It's the leadership of other countries as well. They look at us as gluttons. They look at us as fat, wealthy people. Even the poorest of us are wealthier than their highest point of middle class. And the fact that we only pay $3.18 a gallon on the West Coast for a gallon of regular gas is absolutely unthinkable. And it burns them to no end. And right now on the East Coast, we pay about $2.82 a gallon for a gallon of regular gas. That's going to change because right now oil's at $87 a barrel. Before the end of the year, before the end of January, oil will be at $100 a barrel and it ain't coming back. Why? Because those countries that produce it want it to stay there. They need the revenue. And at $100 a barrel, it doesn't impact their economies that much because they have changed their lifestyles already. They use public transportation. They have high mileage vehicles. And we do not. We rely heavily upon personal auto travel. We don't rely much on trains. And we also only put one person per car, even an SUV. Those people that are going to work every day, every morning, almost 150 million Americans driving 38 miles a day, calculate it. It adds up in a hurry. It's about $350 million a day in gasoline. That's a lot of money. And 90% of those cars have one person in them. We have not learned how to conserve energy yet. We're not allowed to conserve energy yet. Because our trucks still get 17 miles per gallon. Our SUVs are out there barely making 18 or 19 miles per gallon. We're not ready. We're not even close to being ready. Let's see what people think. Let's see here. Barry from Arizona, line one, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you this evening?
Hey, I'm doing great. How's the weather out there in Arizona tonight?
You know, it's absolutely beautiful. We had a couple of very cold nights in the high 20s, but this afternoon was 81, I believe, just gorgeous. So, not complaining.
I don't want to hear about it. It was 44 today, and I think it's about 28 tonight. But the stars are gorgeous.
Yeah, so it sounds pretty cold, though. You got to watch them from inside somehow.
I agree.
I was listening to what you were saying about the rise in fuel costs, and I was wondering also, it obviously translates to higher food costs, you know, because of the transportation required to bring everything to market. But I was wondering if you've caught wind the past couple of weeks of all these newsletter writers discussing how the cost of food is going to be doubling in a year.
I don't really know where it's coming from because, at least in this country, we typically have bumper crops and we have a CRP program, which is in full bloom from coast to coast, which means we have reserve land that's very significant from wheat to corn to barley, soy. We have lots and lots of reserve land.
Yeah, certainly, but the price of the commodities are certainly rising. They're at 52-week highs right now. They're nowhere near 08 levels, but they're certainly making a move.
But 08 levels were driven by fuel costs, not by any kind of food shortage. And I can tell you right now what farmers will do. If the price goes up, they'll overplant, no question about it.
Let's hope so. Yeah, you'll hear more about it in the next couple of weeks because it's quite recent. It's mostly paid newsletters right now. It'll start leaking all over the place. I don't I don't know where it's going to come from either. You know, they're saying how emerging markets are becoming more affluent, and with that comes a higher demand for foods that consume more water and grains and things like that, animal products.
It's true. It's true. Rice is the number one water consumer, just by the way that it's grown. Corn is a pretty good dry land product, and so is wheat. So they those are both staples. Unfortunately, most of the corn is being turned into sugar and other products, and not so much used directly for food, at least in higher developed countries. So it'll be interesting to watch. I don't think it'll be long term, unless there's some kind of blight. But population certainly hasn't changed. The fuel costs are definitely going to change 10%, maybe 15%. And that's going to affect food prices, but I'm not seeing doubling, not in the near future.
Not. Yeah, we got the light. You heard that Lindsay Williams guy?
Yeah, I have.
He's on Alex Jones quite often. He just came out with his little prediction that he heard from his elite group in the energy industry. I think Atlantic Richfield or something. And that's what they're telling him, and he's getting the word out. It's gonna get crazy.
Well, I was in China at the technology transfer conference in Jiangsu. Jiangsu in China is a little bit like Detroit in our country, in the sense that Kia is there and Honda is there, and it's an $800 million. Complex of all kinds of suppliers, from small engines for generators to body stamping plants. It's really quite something to see. So
excellent. Was it productive for you?
In a word, no. I mean, lots of plants there, but also lots of empty parking lots. So a lot of it's for show, but the capacity is definitely there, and the Chinese economy is coming on strong. The point was that it was a technology transfer conference, because I would represent the U.S. and there were 250 delegates from all kinds of different industries, wind and biomass and pharmaceuticals. The pharmaceutical stuff was just fascinating. There were seven of us there from electric automobile producers from New Zealand and France and Germany, and we represented the U.S. And basically it was agreements signed to allow us to transfer drive technology to them in exchange for, you know, cheaply stamped bodies that we can sell in our markets. So that's what that was there for. But the interesting thing that came out of that conference was a high level of confidence that within 90 days oil was going to be at $100 a barrel, and it was going to stay there or go up. And these are the guys that control the market.
Well, that's another problem. They're seeing speculators come back in the market with all this liquidity, so they're raising margin requirements on futures exchanges. And so what's that doing is taking capital away from the real producers that want to sell into the futures market, their future production. And this isn't a productive way of curbing speculation, in my opinion, but they could very well be right. In that regard, I don't see a shortage.
Yeah, I'm seeing the same thing, not just in oil either. Also, iron ore. Iron ore is attracting huge amounts of money right now, and so is gold production in South America.
And palladium now, because they're switching from the use of the, what was it they used to use for catalytic converters?
Well, they use the platinum, rhodium, and palladium, but the rhodium is the most expensive. It's $50 a gram. It's very expensive. Palladium is the other catalytic converter. It's mostly valuable in the diesel catalysts, so more important than the platinum.
Interesting. All right. Well, I'll let you carry on. Thanks.
All right. Hey, I appreciate the phone call.
Take care.
All right. That was Barry from Arizona. Good thoughts. We definitely like to have great observers out there who know what's going on. And you know, if you have any other thoughts about, you know, food doubling, worries about genetically engineered seeds that are out there and they're trying to get the old natural seeds off the market as much as possible, because obviously, you know, the bees are going to do what they do, and they're going to pollinate from the older, you know, strain of plants, and then they're going to come in and pollinate the genetically engineered plants, and that's going to mess up their seed crop. So you could see why they're highly motivated to get the competitor seeds, the ones nature came up with, off the market and out of circulation, and only put the genetically engineered seeds out there at Walmart so that you're planting them. But honestly, the seeds that you're seeing at Walmart are not the genetically engineered seeds, because it's a very low volume. These home gardens, that's not really the threat. What they're trying to do is get into the seed production warehouses. These are areas that collect a certain portion of the crops each year, and they are stored and treated, coated, in hoppers for a few months. And then farmers who have sold the seed to the grain warehouses then come back and buy the seed from those same grain warehouses at more cost than what they sold them at. But that's the way the cycle works. And the grain warehouses serve a function by providing liquidity into the farmer's pocketbook. Now, some farmers will bank their own seeds, but they take a high risk in doing so. And they also tie up their capital for another few months, and a lot of them cannot take that, especially if they don't own their own equipment, but they're using equipment that is more co-opt, like combines and large tractors and planting machines and things like that. Then they have to use the grain warehouses to offset that cost. Those are the seeds that are being replaced by the hybrids. And you see this when you go down the highway. You'll see the various signs out by the side of the highway as you drive by the cornfield, so that you can say, gee, that one looks really dark green. Look at all the ears on that. That's much taller and healthier and must be good for you. And that'll be, you know, brand A331 or whatever. This is how it's done. Now, some of this genetic engineering is done the natural way. You just simply crossbreed strains of plants the old botanical way to come up with strains that are resistant to insects and disease and can live with lower water and more pollution in the air. And some are more nefarious. They're crossed with jellyfish and all kinds of things. And those might be the ones that have more far-reaching effects than what we might think. Let's go back to the phones. Let's see here. All right, Scott from Florida, line one. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Brooks. A note on genetically modified foods. I've noticed that if I use organic canola oil, I'm far better off than if I use plain organic or plain canola oil, in that I can't focus. My mind is not as sharp after consuming regular canola oil. And from what I've gathered from Joseph Mercola's sites, is that the genetically modified foods, they do affect concentration. And canola, corn, cottonseed, and soy are some of the most genetically modified foods out there, not to mention others that are probably on the way.
Don't count out safflower. Safflower is being worked on right now as a treatment for diabetes. Yeah, and of course, the Department of the Interior is working on making sure that these safflower fields are not planted near other safflower plants. They got to be so many miles away. They don't want the bees that pollinate these safflower plants to in any way be close enough to fly to those safflower plants because they could really have a problem on their hands. These are highly genetically engineered safflower plants that produce an oil which can be used to treat diabetes.
Okay. Interesting. And it works.
Yeah, it works clinically. And I, like I said, there, you know, there's a lot of grant money out there to pay people to grow this safflower oil. And, of course, it's got to be processed on designated equipment. It can't be processed on equipment that's got the other oil in it. And it's costly. It's expensive. And they're waiting for the results. And if the clinicals come back good, then I'm sure they'll take it to the next step. But you always risk, you know, sort of the kudzu effect. You're going to have some unexpected effect that you haven't taken into calculation. So you really have to keep it isolated and segregated away from other plants that might crossbreed with it.
I see. Back to the Merkaba, in the book, Remembering the Future, I got my copy. It's interesting, the counterclockwise motion is masculine, the clockwise motion is feminine, and we've got storms starting to move in a counterclockwise direction. I'm wondering if there's any significance there.
Well, actually, it's opposite. The counterclockwise motion is female, the clockwise motion is male. That's why when we spin up the Merkaba, we do a 21-34 Fibonacci ratio with the net movement counterclockwise so that we have a creative force in our creative result in our Merkaba. And that is a good key point. In the northern hemisphere, these storms rotating counterclockwise are actually quite creative in their energy. And if you look at the eye of these storms, they form, sure enough, a six-sided hexagon in which the Merkaba can be drawn.
And creativity, you've mentioned creative storms, that's more feminine energy. Not that masculine energy can't be creative too, but usually when it comes to the left brain, right brain, the right brain is known to be the creative intuitive side, and the left brain, the logic and reason side. And the left brain controls the right side of the body, which in certain cultures, such as the Dogon, is the masculine side. And the left side of the body is controlled by the right brain, which is the left side is the feminine side.
Yes, that's right.
That's the Dogon tribe in Mali. In their cosmology, they're the ones who knew about Sirius being a double, triple star before telescopes. And their dances would detail the movement of Sirius A around Sirius B around Sirius A. I believe that's how it goes.
Yeah, actually, that's right. And the more dense star is actually a white dwarf now, so we really can't see it compared to the star Sirius A that we see. And, of course, they rest in the summer triangle with Deneb and I can't remember the other star now. Gee, it escapes me. But it's said that 2,000 years ago there was a red glow in that summer triangle. It was recorded in Roman times by Roman astronomers. Now, if that's true, if there was a red giant that blew up and consumed its solar system in that area, 2,000 years is not long enough for that red to go away. We should still be able to see it, but we can't. It's gone. So that means that there's some kind of very dense gravitational force there that pulled all that gas out of the visible way. We can't see that red glow anymore.
I've heard there are more advanced civilizations around Sirius who have probably moved into higher dimensional frequencies, as in the Arcturians. Edgar Cayce spoke of the Arcturus and Arcturians, whereas I've also heard about civilizations around Sirius. I don't know if any of them are still in physical or if they've moved up the ladder, but just to throw that out for interesting conversation.
Well, some of the conferences that I've been to, there have been channelers who have said Syrians and Arcturians have incarnated here on this planet. If that's the case, according to those that have talked to me about the rules of incarnation, you can't just leave one planet and go to another planet. It doesn't work that way. You incarnate on one planet, you stay there until that planet's done, until it doesn't exist anymore, and then you're allowed to float to another world. If that's the case, then the planets around Arcturus and Sirius have undergone some kind of cataclysmic activities and are no longer available for population. So Syrian personalities and Arcturian personalities have come here to Earth.
And here we are. Back to a more practical matter. Let's talk
I like
about
the way
banks.
You say we.
If you want to talk about banks, I just have to throw this in. I've refinanced my car that I've owned now for a little over a year 4 times in the past year and 4 months, trying to get a better rate, and that it's ridiculous. And I'm going through a credit union. And it started with one credit union and went to a second. Now I'm at my third, where I've refinanced it twice. And we're talking about a car that it would have been easier to pay out of pocket for had I had it in the bank. And I was getting to wonder, is it to the point where we're going to have to lease cars, where it's not even going to be feasible economically to go through the motions of paying all this money out and then paying monthly payments for 3 or 4 or 5 years all this extra money out?
Yeah, I had this discussion with the Secretary of Transportation, Ray LaHood, just a couple of months ago. He said, when I described what we were trying to do, he said, why don't you just buy a Volt? Why don't you just buy a GM? And I said, well, you can't buy a Volt right now. I mean, you can lease one, but we played that game before. He said, what do you mean we played the game before? I said, well, the EV1 was built back in the 90s, but you couldn't buy it. You could lease it. And once General Motors got everything out of their stock that they wanted from having the EV1 out there, they gathered them up and crushed them. And they're going to do the same thing this time. Nobody is going to go out there and pay $43,000, $44,000 for a Chevy Volt that only goes 40 miles on a charge and is no better than a Hyundai or a Toyota or Camry. They're just not going to do it. They might lease it, in which case GM is just playing the same game that they were playing before. I have not financed personally a car for, I don't know, over 40 years. I always pay cash for them. I'm just a firm believer, if I can't afford to buy it in cash, I'll just keep driving the old one. But when it gets time to buy one, I just keep saving up the money and put away a few tax refund checks, and I go down and pay cash.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just wanted to throw those few points out. Thank you, Dr. Brooks. Have a good evening.
Thank you, Scott. Have a wonderful time down there in Florida, and call back anytime.
Sure.
Good night. And that's an interesting thing, you know, is our personal debt load. There are those out there who firmly believe they cannot get through life without debt. I forget who I was talking to the other day. Well, maybe it wasn't the other day. Maybe it was a month or two ago. Time flies when you're working 5 jobs. He asked me what kind of credit cards I had. I said, credit cards, let me think. Oh, my gosh. You know, I don't think I've had a credit card in probably at least 10 years, maybe 12 years. I mean, I have a debit card, but when it's out of money, it's out of money. I really can't see any need to have a credit card. Do you? And he said, well, you have to have one, you know, to get your credit score up there. I said, you're kidding me. Because back when I had credit cards, even though the payments were current, the credit bureau told me the reason your credit rating isn't as high as it should be is because you have credit cards. You need to get rid of those. So I paid them all off. I cut them up and called the credit card companies and said, I'm, you know, voluntarily canceling my account. And I canceled Oh, gosh, I think I had 3 or 4 gas cards and a Kohl's, Sears, Penny's, all those cards. They didn't have balances on them, but what they called it was the potential for debt. Yeah, even though I didn't have balances on them, and when I did charge something, I just paid it off, I had the potential for debt, and that was knocking my credit score down. So I just got rid of all the cards. I didn't use them anyway. So now, if you don't have credit cards, you can't get that credit score. Ridiculous. I can't think of a single reason why anyone would need a credit card. Just have money in the bank. And if you don't, gee, don't spend it. I think it's just a very common sense idea. I hear radio ad programs or radio ads all the time for people who are $20,000 to $100,000 in credit card debt. Are you kidding me? Do you know that if you go through one of these outfits and they actually settle you out of the credit card debt, that the IRS is going to tax you on the difference? Let me give you an example, just so you understand. Let's say you have $20,000 in credit card debt. You're a little bit behind, maybe 2-3 months. You need to get out from underneath it because, after all, it is 27% interest. Yeah, you don't realize that? 27 to 29% interest. It's crazy. Why would anybody pay that kind of interest? Anyway, you go to the credit card company, they say, sure, we'll settle you out. Let's see, how about $10,000 and you pay off $20,000 of the credit card debt? Write us 6 structured payments, whatever 6 divided into 10 is, 10,000, something like $1,550. Write us 6 checks for $1,550, we'll cash you out. So you do that. Guess what you're going to get? You're going to get a tax bill from the IRS, including Social Security, for the 10 grand. Because the $10,000 worth of goods that you got, that big screen TV, all those meals that you decided to pay off later, shoes, clothes, movies, vacations, are income to you. So you never get away with it, people. The best thing to do is don't have a credit card. If you have one, take a pair of scissors to it and cut it up. Put yourself on 5 or 6 times the payments that are the minimum and pay that sucker off. Get rid of it. If you can't pay cash for it, don't buy it. Just don't buy it. Do without. Drive the old car. Keep fixing it. Take the bus. Walk. Ride a bike. Save your money. And when you get a few $1,000s together, buy yourself a good used car. Believe me, the used car market is flooded with cars. Millions of cars. You get over 70,000 miles on a car, and most of them aren't even broken in with that kind of mileage on them. You can buy them for a song. You can buy them for a quarter of what they cost new. And they're just fine usable vehicles. Those of you that think you have to have a new vehicle, I'm proud of you. Because you keep Big Auto in business. And as soon as the rear wheels clear the curb, you just lost 25% of your money. So that's my financial advice for tonight. I'm not a financial advisor. Anybody that takes my advice will be better off for it, but I'm still not going to take any liability for it. So I want you to take care of yourselves out there. We're going to take a quick break. As soon as I can find something interesting to play, here's something nice. We'll do this one. We will be back right after this. You take it easy, get something to drink. I'm going to rest my weary voice for about 4 minutes, and I'll be right back with more X Squared Radio.
Many times, so many times. and no reason to talk about.
And welcome back to X Squared Radio. We're glad you're joining us here on this evening. We're third hour of X Squared Radio. We're coming to you live from North Carolina. Our AccuWindow forecast is about 28 degrees outside. Nice view of the stars. Thought it was going to snow yesterday, and it did for a few minutes, but looks like things got up to about 44 degrees today, so it wasn't too bad. If you want to be part of the program, we encourage you to do so, invite you to do so. You can always reach us here at 530-413-4511. If you're off-planet, if you're east of Earth, you can reach us at 530-413-4515. And west of Earth, 530-413-4520. We thank those that are listening by cell phone. If you want to add that to your way of listening to X Squared Radio live here on BBS Radio Network, you can do so by dialing 712-432-0075 and then the access code 318116#. You won't be able to call in while you're listening, but at least you'll be listening live. In our final hour, I would like to talk about the X-37B. Before we do so, I want to remind you, if you are out and about this winter, it could get treacherous out there. High winds, snow, ice, especially along I-40 or along that very treacherous ice zone, the ice line. I highly recommend having an emergency preparedness kit in your car or truck. You can go probably to Walmart and you can buy something to put in there. But if you really want the high quality stuff, the stuff that you don't have to think about being there when you need it, I need you to visit our friends at 1-800-PREPARE.com. My friend Paul Faust and his firefighter buddies have put together a great website. It has all the right packages. Many of these products will last for 25 years. You don't have to do a thing to them. Put them in a book bag, throw them in the trunk, and you've got them. If you should happen to have a flat, if you should happen to be stuck in traffic, or slide off the highway into a snowdrift, you're okay because you've got the right food. You've got a space blanket. You've got the ability to heat up the inside of your car without running your engine. You've got a flashlight. Those are the kinds of things you need in a vehicle. We were taught this in the military. I'm trying to extend this wonderful safety trip to you. Visit my friends at 1-800-PREPARE.com. And by the way, as you're checking out, put in the coupon code BROOKS and you'll get an extra 10% off. Nice to have that assurance that you'll be taken care of. Remembering the Future, the Physics of the Soul, and Time Travel has done very well on Amazon. Of course, it's available on Kindle and Nook, and the audio version is for sale as well. So I highly encourage you to go to the website, rememberingthefuturebook.com, unless you like shopping at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Borders, Walden Books, and everywhere fine books are sold. But if you buy from our website, you're going to get the autographed version and you're going to get the audio version for free. And that's kind of an added bonus. Yes, you might have to wait for it another week. But waiting a week is sometimes okay if you've got the quality to go behind it. Thank you. Thank you very much. The hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that ordered over the last few weeks. I trust every single one of your books is in the mail. Many of you are receiving them tomorrow and the next couple of days. Enjoy the printed version to go along with the audio version. There is a CD that will help you with the meditation that's found in the back of the book. It's produced by Maureen St. Germain. She's a great teacher of the Merkaba Flower of Life meditation. It will help you with the master the breathing and the hand mudras. The 18th breath we will teach you in the audio and also in the back of the book. So you can have access to meditation for busy people and give you a very effective way of reaching those higher states of consciousness as you manifest the future that you desire. In this hour, I want to talk a little bit about the X-37B. Many of you don't know what that is. That's because it's not very well publicized. I'm going to play for you a little clip. As you know, April of this year, the X-37B was a smaller version of unmanned version of the space shuttle. It was taken over from NASA by the U.S. Air Force, put into the Rapid Deployment Program. That's doublespeak for unlimited budget, black budget. We don't have to tell you what's in it or how much we spent. And we're probably never going to know. We don't know what the mission was. It was designed to be a 9-month mission. It went for 7 months and it landed yesterday. So I'm going to play for you just a little clip here so you know what the X-37B was. And then we'll go on from there. Here we go.
Cutting edge technology. I would say so. Yes, this is the first time an unmanned, reusable system has been received here at Vandenberg. So I think it's a huge deal. The runway that we're standing next to right now was extended in the 80s to support the shuttle landing. So this is a historical first, not only for Vandenberg Air Force Base, but for our Air Force and for the nation to receive a recoverable aircraft or spacecraft here and really taking a step forward in advancing space flight. We're going to be coming in from north to south, essentially, on the runway, and that will maximize the time that it's over the ocean. And it won't fly over any populated areas. We're going to obviously clear out the landing area. So that's all done for safety precautions. And so, as I said, we're doing everything we can to ensure that the mission is successful and we're doing this in as safe a manner as we possibly can.
Now, one of the things that you're going to notice here is that this landed at Vandenberg Air Force Base. It's about 130 miles north of Los Angeles. Not Edwards Air Force Base, which is deep in the desert and has... If this thing, something goes wrong and it decides to land badly, it doesn't hurt anything because you've got, this is where the real space shuttle lands. However, he made a valid point that most of its descent was over the ocean, coming in from north to south. It would have come over the northern Pacific Ocean. Vandenberg's right there on the coast, so if they had any kind of problem, they could probably ditch it in the sea. The point to pay attention here is that it landed at a military base. This is an Air Force unit. It landed at an Air Force base, and the public was not invited. We don't know what's in the cargo bay. We don't know what its mission is. We are highly suspicious that it was probably used for some method of weaponizing space. Interestingly enough, about 3 weeks ago, I believe it was right before we went to China. The X-37B, which had been tracked faithfully by the folks at heavensabove.com, lost it. It disappeared. They couldn't find it. And it showed up again a couple of days later, 54 kilometers closer to Earth. Now, what this means is that the X-37B changed orbits. They maneuvered it into a different orbit. Of course, being lower, it was a faster cycle time. It's possible that the surveillance or weapon systems that this was in place as a method of deployment was also being tracked by those that were might be targeted by it. And so moving it 54 kilometers also probably took them some time to adjust to it and gave a strategic advantage to whatever system is inside the X-37B. We still don't know what it is. The cool thing is that they have been able to have this maneuverability with an unmanned spacecraft, that they can fly it by joystick right to the ground and land it safely. The uncool thing is that it is a space-based weapon system that the public is not privy to. We don't know what's going on with this spacecraft. We're unsure as to why it is so top secret, and it always makes us nervous that this kind of stuff is carrying on. Now, there's another U.S. Air Force video. I'm going to play this one for you really quick. You can't see the video of it, but this plane really looks like a UFO coming in. It's very sleek. It has only a four little stubby wings and a small rudder sticking up. And it's very, very
fast. It's a military mystery. What is this? Is it an aircraft? Is it the next generation space shuttle? And why is it such a secret? This is the X-37B, a classified Air Force project that's never been fully explained by the Pentagon, but it hasn't stopped the speculation. Some worry this is the beginning of military operations in space, that the plane might someday carry weapons to shoot down enemy satellites.
They're also concerned it may be used as a quick response sort of vehicle where it could be...
Now, this is Victoria Sampson of the Secure World Foundation. So I want you to listen to her concerns.
Used to be launched very quickly, be sent over the planet to a danger spot very quickly, and then release weapons at that point.
In a recent meeting with reporters, a top Air Force official said no way.
I don't know how this could be called weaponization of space. Fundamentally, it's an updated version of space shuttle kind of activities in space.
Now, that was Gary Payton, Air Force Deputy Undersecretary for Space Programs. He says, I don't know how this could be called, weaponization of space. Fundamentally, it's an updated version of the space shuttle kind of activities in space. If that's the case, Gary, open the cargo bays and let's see what's inside. Let's continue.
Lift off.
Unlike the reusable space shuttle, the X-37B is unmanned, but it's much smaller and it's controlled from ground stations. It can stay in space for 270 days, but the Air Force won't say how long it's staying up this time or what exactly it will be doing other than testing out its high-tech systems. The Air Force won't even say how many billions of dollars it's spending on the program.
We don't know why it's so classified. You can't find how much it is in the budget.
The Air Force has been interested for years in developing some kind of space vehicle it can send up into orbit, bring back down to Earth, and then use over and over again. The Air Force just doesn't want to say what it's going to use it for. Barbara Starr, CNN, the Pentagon.
So this is CNN's internal reporter inside the Pentagon. And she doesn't know what the X-37B is going to be used for either. That the video and the concerns that are out there, some of the boards, it's interesting to listen to some of the rhetoric that's out there, some of the very, very intelligent speculation that's going on out there. It's on both sides. But Congress is not really concerned with it. Not really seeing anything in Congress about, or the Senate for that matter, about a revelation or exposure to what's being done with the X-37B. I would like to have your opinions on it, if you would like to give them. One of the things that kind of bothers me about it is there's just a little too many secrets. If you want to join the program, you can do so, 530-413-4511. My voice is a little tired. I apologize. I have been working in the frigid cold with no heat during the day to get another location open. Now it has heat, so next week my voice should be back to normal. Working all day in that cold does have its effect on the voice. And so I apologize for having to hit the cough button from time to time. We have some pretty strong opinions out there about the weaponization of space. The idea that that weapons are being placed in space and aimed at Earth is probably not so controversial to people. After all, the HTV, the hyper-transport vehicle, is now being tested. It should be able to launch and be really at any location on Earth with a deployable conventional or nuclear weapon within an hour and a half, anywhere on the planet within an hour and a half. Now, that's a real deterrent. In the old days, when I was in the Air Force, we ran sorties with B-52s. These were fleets small, mobile, low-altitude missions that were flown by B-52 bombers. As you know, this was a subsonic jet. Still, it could carry 20,000 pounds of bombs. During the Iraq wars and during the Vietnam War, that's how old the B-52 is. The most dreaded sound in warfare is the sound of a B-52 squadron coming overhead, because they carry so much firepower. They could just lay waste with all kinds of different weapons, just carpet bombing the area and literally taking out anything that lives with the various kinds of weaponry. That was the old way of warfare. But it took a long time to deploy these aircraft that could just barely fly 600 miles an hour. Then the B-1 and then the B-2, stealth aircraft that could be kept aloft, although they weren't in very high volumes. They have been used in all kinds of warfare. As Wars R Us has been called up, they pick these aircraft to go off, fly at night, and they'll fly a 33-hour sortie and back. But this is a different kind of weapon system. To be able to put weapons in space and to be able to deploy them anywhere on the planet in the matter of literally minutes of when they're asked to do so is certainly a deterrent, especially with the accuracy with which we can deliver incredibly effective weaponry. However, we have some evidence that some of this weaponry is not particularly aimed at Earth. It's aimed the other way. Now, you might think, well, gee, are we taking on near-Earth objects? Are we taking on an errant asteroid that might come into our realm and we might need to splatter it into pebbles up there in space? Could be. Are we positioning ourselves to engage extraterrestrial aircraft, spacecraft that might come into our sovereign space? I was going to say airspace, but there isn't much air up there, so we'll just call it space. That's a possibility too. However, not disclosing it to the public, not discussing with us what the weapon system is, what its use might be, how much it cost, always makes us suspicious. And especially when officials like Gary come out and say, how can you call this the weaponization of space? This is just our good old buddy, the space shuttle. Come on. School teachers and, you know, different engineers in orange jumpsuits. Come on. These are the heroes of our Air Force. It's just like our good old friend, the space shuttle. I don't think so. I think this is a fly-by-wire, joystick, impersonal kind of weapon system that can be flown by any kid that's good at flying video games. And it does one more step of disconnection from the personal responsibility of death and mayhem. In the good old days, we charged across the frozen tundra at one another with our battle axes in hands, and somehow we managed to maintain our fever for dominion long enough to hack each other to pieces in the sunshine, man to man. Then we got to a little more indiscriminate, and we got to long-range combustion weapons, projectile weapons, and then we got to weapons of mass destruction like gas and poisons and then nuclear weapons, which were so devastating and so frightening that ostensibly they were deterrents to war. And then we got to ultra-precision, where we could drop a bunker buster right down the ventilator shaft of a facility, and much to the entertainment of nighttime and daytime viewers in the early 90s, CNN and 24-hour news broadcasts came of age as we were glued to the set during our lunch hours at work. And as soon as we got home, the television switched to CNN so we could watch the war on TV. Now we have gone to the point where those weapons have become even more devastating and more precise, and the delivery systems are becoming one more step to the impersonal. Drones, flown by joysticks from looking glass aircraft far up in the sky or from remote locations, even on another continent, through satellite control. Are they effective? Yes, they are. They are effective. But does it depersonalize? Does it dehumanize war? I think so. And it's possible that that aspect of the weapon system might be the darkest and most devastating to the human race. At some point, we need to have something that is such a deterrent that we never use it. Somewhere along the line, the leadership of the world needs to understand killing one another is not a solution. However, the military exists for two reasons and two reasons only. No, it is not to get an education. No, it is not to provide you an adventure. No, it is not to let you be all you can be. The only two reasons the military exists is to kill people and break things. The fact, the observation that presidents are willing to not only deploy that in the near term and in the long term, decade-long seek and destroy missions are what could possibly be building the animosity between one tribe of Earth and another to the point of no return. The greater the weapon systems, the greater the will to use them, the more devastating this kind of warfare becomes. Are we safe? I doubt it. Because, sort of like the Hatfields and McCoys, the feud just keeps escalating decade after decade, year after year, generation after generation. And one day, that need to kill one another will reach the point of no return. Somewhere along the way, leaders need to be wise enough to say, enough. Enough. It's time to lay the weapons down, turn them into plowshares, and not let the terrorists command the way that we live. Terrorists, in their cowardice and in their ineffective, indiscriminate criminal activities, have managed to change the way of life in a free country. In the most powerful nation in the world, we cower in our boots. We are inconvenienced at airports, at schools, at concerts. It is ridiculous. I pulled off the freeway one day in eastern Kentucky. And as I pulled off the freeway, I went to the gas station, the service station. I wanted a soft drink. I wanted something for the road, and I wanted to use the restroom. What was I met with? I was met with one-inch bulletproof glass and a little drawer through which I could slip my money and ask for a Pepsi, but I could not use the restroom. I told the guy behind the counter, look, I'm not here to cause you any harm. I want to use the restroom. I want to shop your store. He said, I cannot let you inside because it's after 5 p.m. I said, what do you mean it's after 5 p.m.? What does that have to do with anything? He said, this is a high-risk neighborhood. We close the doors at 5 p.m. only deal with the public through this little drawer. And I told him through the glass right before I went and urinated behind his location in the weeds, I want my store back. I want my store back. We need to do whatever it takes in our communities to take back our stores. We need to take back our schools. We need to take back our gymnasiums and our concert halls and our airports from the terrorists. We can do this. We can do this without the TSA. So those are my thoughts on the X-37B. Secret weapon systems. I played for you the news cuts of its arrival, of its departure, and the official word, what this little mini space shuttle is all about. We don't know. It looks good. It's awesome to watch land. It's awesome to watch take off. What does it do? Haven't a clue. How much does it cost? Sorry, no idea. Is the mission nefarious? Oh, no, 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 no. This is our good old buddy, the space shuttle. You know Mr. Space Shuttle, don't you? Come on. What could be wrong with that? Interesting stuff. We got about 25 minutes left in the program. My voice is getting pretty tired. Anybody out there who has a mercy on me, we can change the subject, talk about what you want to talk about, answer questions about the book, about, I do have a Hollow Earth update. Ding, 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 Hollow Earth update. We have been contacted by movie producers. Yes, we have. Credible, high-budget movie producers have been in communication with us this week about the Hollow Earth expedition. We are sending them a business plan tomorrow, and hopefully discussions will continue to escalate, and we may actually be talking about the voyage in 2012. We're excited about it. We'll keep you updated on it. And if I make any moves on it or some progress on it, you will be the first to know. Okay, you'll be the second to know, but you'll be right up there. If you have any questions about the Hollow Earth expedition, any suggestions, any thoughts, any ideas, I know one thing. More people know about the Hollow Earth than knew about Middle Earth before the movies came out. But to help me out a little bit here, 530-413-4511. I'd love to hear from you. My voice would love to hear from you. Next week, sorry about that. Next week we'll try to have Dr. Ed Close on. We're also talking to a couple of other authors. Interesting books out now. The Secret NASA Projects. Some more extraterrestrial studies have been done. Interesting stuff on abductions, on craft that have been recovered and reverse engineered. Lots of authors writing very, very telling stories right now. And I really applaud the avenues for self-publishing now. This really allows some good stuff to come out and hit the market. Oh, yeah, by the way, if you're interested in publishing a book, couple of things here. If you're interested in publishing a book, you don't have a publisher, you don't know where to go for one, you don't have any idea how to reach an agent, well, join the club, because agents aren't going to talk to you, publishers aren't going to talk to you, and if they do, it's going to be, you're going to be writing them a check for about $20,000 to get your book published, because not only are you going to pay their salaries, you're also going to pay to have the book printed, and then you're going to have a garage full of books until you do the marketing. Sorry, but that's the way it goes. Or you can use a print-on-demand publisher. I don't recommend it. I don't recommend it from experience. There are a couple of the major ones out there. One is Author House. Don't waste your time. And the other one is iUniverse. I don't even want to get started on iUniverse. I've spent money with both of them, considerable numbers of months with both of them. In a word, inept, don't waste your money. You're going to be frustrated, and you're going to be disappointed with the product. You want to publish a book, there's a way to do it inexpensively, very rapidly, and you are in charge of all the quality and the marketing. The nice thing is there's no inventory because it's all print on demand, and you get a higher profit, as much as 70% of the retail price of that book. Yeah, serious stuff. Now, it's a little difficult to navigate, but I've done it. I've worked it out for you. No, I'm not going to write a book on it, but I will help you. And if you want to publish a book, I will help you. If you're a first-time author, we'll go through the manuscript. We'll get it all set up. We'll get you set up on Nook and Kindle and in print on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. I will be setting up an author helpline, an author help page at X Squared Radio. But pending that, if you're listening to this broadcast and you've got a book that you want to publish, we are not talking very much money. Actually, the publishing and registering part is less than $50. Get that, $50. And if you want my advice on how to do it, or you want me to do it for you, I'll do it for a very small fee. Why? Because I want to see your ideas get out there. I'm not trying to make money at it. I'm not a person with a whole lot of time, so I can't take on 50 authors. But if you've got something to say and you're frustrated because you can't find an author or a publisher, why don't you drop me a line, bagnew@x2-radio.com, and I'll see what I can do to help you. No, I won't write it for you. I may read it, and if it's good enough, we'll interview you here on the program. But I will show you the ropes of how to get that published. Somebody showed me, and I'm going to show you. And that's the way it works. So if you want to participate with that, you can do that. Also, if you think you have it in you to be a talk radio host, by the way, that can help your book sales. It does mine. And you want to see if you've got what it takes to be on PBS Radio Network, I'd love to sponsor you, depending on what your show theme is. If it's along my lines, then I'd be glad to help you. Some of the things are a little out of my purview, and not much I can do to help you there. But I'd love to help you get started with PBS Radio. So just drop me a line at bagnew@x2-radio.com, and I'd be happy to get you started on your own talk radio program right on the PBS Radio Network, the number one webcast radio network on the web. Yes, there are other really good ones out there, Conscious Media Network, great, great people. We love them. Also, Blog Talk Radio, they do a great job. But as far as traffic, nobody comes close to PBS Radio. That's just my experience, and I do speak from 5 years of experience doing it, and I think it could be a big help for you. In our first hour, we had an open call. I'm going to issue it again. I believe the Nobel Peace Prize should be issued to Julian Assange. He says that publishing improves transparency, and this transparency creates a better society for all people. Better scrutiny leads to reduced corruption and stronger democracies in all societies, institutions, including government corporations and other organizations. A healthy, vibrant, and inquisitive journalistic media plays a vital role in achieving these goals. I firmly believe that. I support that. Those that are out there calling him a spy, saying that what he does is treason, it is not. And he is not shining the light into those dark abysses of deception where they did their deeds is not treason. Doing the deed in the dark is treason. And it is a vigilant and unbiased press that keeps us free. It is a diligent and responsible press that avoids war. And the avoidance of war is also called peace. And that's why X Squared Radio officially nominates Julian Assange as a candidate for the Nobel Peace Prize. Those of you that feel the same way I do, make it known on your Facebook, on your Twitter. Let's have a groundswell of support for this individual. He's no dummy. His organization is not stupid. They have put out hundreds of thousands of very high-level, very highly credible documents that have been encrypted so tightly no government can decrypt them. They have been copied and placed in so many spots around the world that if anything happens to Julian, anything happens to his website, that information will be dumped to the public. And I'm not sure what kind of information it could be, but it could be of the quality of, you know, who assassinated President Kennedy. Whistleblowers from all over the world. These are people that actually work in or deal with organizations that are up to skullduggery. They feel like the light of day needs to be shined on that kind of activity. And so they have made the proof, the documents available to Julian and his organization. And they have, in true reporter fashion, without adding their commentary, simply released the documents to the public. I promise you, none of those documents is going to get anybody killed. It is going to make it very uncomfortable for those officials who engaged in activity that was illegal, treasonous, and deserves to be vetted to the public. In fact, if some of these individuals knew that their stuff was going to be vetted to the public, would never have done the deed. And after all, isn't that what we're after in the first place? I think so. That's why the press needs to be there. Because these individuals that would sacrifice our liberty, sacrifice our freedom, invade our privacies, work against the greater good for personal gain or for power, will be eliminated. Light is what makes them disappear. And that's, after all, what we're trying to accomplish. Just turn the lights on, Julian. You're doing a great job. And I think as long as you're even-tempered and you're willing to stand there and hold that lightning rod, I'm proud of you. You'd make a great American. So X Squared Radio has been on the air now for 5 years. And we're coming up on our 1,000th hour of archives on the Internet. They are posted at xsquaredradio.com. They're also posted at bbsradio.com. A little different bandwidth, a little different sound quality, but both places are available. Our archives at X Squared Radio cost $2.50 for a single month, or you could buy $20 and listen for an entire year, anytime you want, 24 hours a day. All you have to do is log on and go to the month that you want to listen to. The bio of the artist, his picture, his website, everything's right there on X Squared Radio, month by month. So you can go through that information and listen to the interviews and learn more about some of the greatest minds and authors out there. Now, if you want to make plans for next year, this is 12 months away, in 11-11-11, November 11, 2011, in Louisville, Kentucky, the Pythagoras Conference is really going to be revolutionary. 20 of the top speakers and presenters in this genre from around the world are going to be present. It is going to be held at one of the finest venues in the Southeast, bar none. And you have time to put it together. Now, if you'll click on the Pythagoras Conference banner ad at xsquaredradio.com, you'll find out all the terms of the conference. Now, it's a year away. I believe it's somewhere around $800 for the full 3 days. There will be meal tickets that you can buy. There are workshops that you can be part of. It is a great facility, and it's going to be an awesome event. It's one of the few times I can even think of in the last decade that in the Midwest there has been an opportunity like this to see this caliber of speakers. We're talking about William Henry, Michael Cremo, Ed Close, James Gilliland. Usually these guys are all out on the West Coast or they're scattered hither and yon. This is where the greats are coming to speak and present. And you're going to be changed now when you come to this. You've got a year to put your money together to go. Now, I have had a couple of people come back and say, are you kidding me? $800+ to attend a conference, you just cut out 50% of the people that would come. Not so. Because if you see yourself there, money is not the object. And I can tell you from experience, you are not going to get a conference of this caliber, of this size, this venue, to come to the Midwest for less money. You start putting a $100 or $200 conference out there, you can't raise enough money to lease a decent venue. You can't provide meals. You can't provide hotel accommodations for your speakers. And you're not going to get a quality program. And that's what happens year after year after year. People try to bring something like this to the Midwest, and it flops. Why? Because it's a low-budget, cheap operation. This is not. You want to be part of it. You want to make a brilliant vacation move for you and your family. This is the place to come. I guarantee you it's going to be rated PG. You're going to hear wonderful things that are going to open your mind. There are going to be books available, paraphernalia available, artworks available, all kinds of DVDs and films available. You're going to get to meet the speakers, shake hands, get books autographed. This is the chance of a decade to come to a conference of this quality, the Pythagoras Conference. Be sure to click on the banner at X Squared Radio. Why? Because there's a tracking code in that banner. And if you come from X Squared Radio, you're going to get a discount. And we're going to get help in getting you there. If you go Google it and you go from the outside, you're on your own. So we want you to click that banner at X Squared Radio. We want you to keep up with it. Bookmark it. Keep up with it as it changes. Maybe the price will come down. It's possible. But right now, just see yourself there. Get there and get registered. And we'll see you there. So that's the Pythagoras Conference. Also, coming up the first of the year, Volume 4 of The Ark of Millions of Years. Those of you that have the trilogy, thank you so much. That's about 1,500 pages of the most comprehensive work ever done on the 2012 end times. And in putting this together, we did a tremendous amount of research into ancient history, into cosmology and leading-edge physics, and we made a boatload of predictions. Well, guess what? Half that boatload or better came true. They came to pass. So in order to fill you in on that, what did happen? What earthquake did happen? What economic condition did happen? What council was done? What investigations have been done through Native Americans and other things? It was so stunning when we got to looking at the record. We saw, my goodness, you know, probably better than 70% of what we predicted came to pass. And I'm talking some serious matchups, people. Like, how about an earthquake in the Afar Triangle that rips open the edge of the land like a zipper and it fills in with the Red Sea? Something that geologists had said takes hundreds of years. Guess what? It took place in one afternoon, just exactly the way we predicted in the book. Yeah, And there's other things like that too, phenomenal things that seem to match up the predictions that we have in the books. So this book is called The 2012 Update. And it's a much smaller version. It's about 207, 208 pages. I think it's a must-have because it caps off a lot of the things, the predictions and trends and things that we talked about in the first three books. And there's a special on extreme weather in there. And there's a special on the 12 tribes of Israel. You're going to really find this fascinating. So it's going to be coming out in January. Keep your eyes open for it. If you haven't subscribed to the newsletter, go to xsquaredradio.com. It's right there on the front page, right at the top. We'd love to have you join our newsletter club. When that comes out, we will send you a link to it. We'll show you the cover to it. I promise you, you're going to find it interesting. This one is a very fun read. So that's about all of our content for this edition of X Squared Radio. We've got about 2 minutes to go. Then we have to make room for the next guest that's coming on, next host that's coming on at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Our producers are Don and Doug Newsom out there in Paradise, California. Doug is quickly coming up to speed and running all the equipment and the stations. You know, now they have multiple channels. And it isn't easy running this kind of operation. We encourage you to go to bbsradio.com and listen to other hosts on the network, James Gilliland and many others that are on there. And if you feel the compunction, we can always use a little bit of help in keeping this free press alive and well. Make sure to hit the donate button there at BBS Radio or at X Squared Radio. Merry Christmas to you as well. We wish that you don't overdo it on the shopping. Please, whatever you do, don't go to the credit cards to buy gifts for people. Nobody wants to think about you making payments next June for what you gave them for Christmas this year. It isn't the money that's important. It's the thought that's important. Put something together that you can afford. Write a poem if you have to. Stay within your budget. I promise you. You're going to be so much happier come January 5th when you go back to work. All right? Now, this is your friend, Brooks Agnew, your talk radio host friend, Brooks Agnew, host of X Squared Radio, saying peace, Earth Explorers. We will see you next week right here. It has been a great pleasure to have you here with us this evening. Tell a friend about us, because every Sunday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, we bring you the best 3 hours of exploration into the mysteries of the universe and of the Earth. If you're not getting all 3 hours, send us the call letters of your local station, and we'll do the rest. Remember, Earth Explorers, that you are Source. Everything we do will eventually affect the universe, so try to do it on purpose. Reach out for the good in people and help it to grow a little every day. And before long, you will have saved the planet. This is X Squared Radio saying, peace, Earth Explorers.
BBS Radio.